The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week 2019 title sponsor TechStars. At the core, TechStars is a company founded by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. With more than 300,000 alumni and 10,000 mentors across 150 countries, TechStars is a worldwide network that helps entrepreneurs succeed. To learn more, go to techstars.com. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. This is one of 20 interviews recorded in a pop-up backroom studio at Dojo 4 during the 10th annual Boulder Startup Week. When it started in 2009, Boulder Startup Week was the first event of its kind anywhere. Now, Startup Weeks are held around the world. It's a great example of Boulder's position on the leading edge of tech and the future. Our guest for episode 42 is Dan Caruso, Chairman and CEO of Zayo Group, a leading global provider of communications infrastructure and a major supporter of the Front Range tech and startup community. In our conversation, Dan gives me a quick tutorial on communications infrastructure, tells us why in the early days of the tech age, big players like Level 3 chose to locate their headquarters on the Front Range, explains why ever faster connectivity has far more important applications than simply enjoying a better gaming or Netflix experience, and speaks with obvious passion about why Zayo Group loves to invest in the local community. All of that and more as the Boulder Tech Podcast speaks with Zayo Group's Dan Caruso. Zayo has been in the bandwidth business since 2007, long before most consumers thought of fiber as anything other than a cereal ingredient. And now it's spreading rapidly. What has Zayo's role been in bringing fiber into mainstream awareness, and where is this all going to lead?
Sure. If you think about nearly all the innovation that takes place, not just in tech, but in general, the common denominator is data, video, which means bandwidth is required. And to carry bandwidth around requires fiber. Even if it's mobile, mobile just collects the data at the edge, feeds into fiber, and fiber is really the workhorse that makes all of this possible.
How much of the country do you know these kinds of things? Like, how much of the country is not currently served by broadband, and what will it take to get it to them?
Yeah, so Zayo serves most markets throughout the U.S., Canada, and Western Europe, and we serve certainly Tier 1 cities, but also Tier 2, 3, 4, and even what would be considered Tier 5 markets, rural areas. A lot of the rural areas we serve are funded by the government in an E-rate program, or we build network to serve the wireless towers, which in turn serve the local communities. But there's still a lot of rural areas that have bandwidth that is underwhelming and probably stymies innovation from taking place in those areas. But most developed portions have good bandwidth solutions.
Do you know what it will take to serve those more rural areas? Is there an interest or a benefit to that in terms of the people who would be providing that bandwidth?
So when it comes to the more rural areas, it will take time, for one thing, because it's very expensive. It probably will take more wireless. It'll probably take more community-funded solutions, because when you get to these areas, it's very expensive per user to provide more bandwidth. You have to construct either a lot of fiber network or put up a lot of even wireless towers that feed fiber networks. So without government support or community support, there'll be some of these more rural areas will be left behind for a long time.
Zayo, if I'm understanding correctly, you serve mostly business with your network. Is that correct?
Our direct customers tend to be either carriers or enterprises, particularly the tech companies. So the big web scale companies, really most tech companies that rely on data and video. But indirectly, we help enable consumers, because if you think about what consumers, how they tap into bandwidth, they tap it perhaps through their cable company, through their wireless carrier, or they're trying to use services like Google or AWS or, you know, YouTube or over-the-top video. So the underlying infrastructure that supports all of those is in part provided by Zayo.
Is Zayo providing the same infrastructure service in terms of putting down the fiber as AT&T or CenturyLink, which has been wiring up my neighborhood for the last few months now?
Yeah, Zayo owns and operates fiber. We construct more fiber network all the time. In fact, we even own and operate data centers. So we spend about $200 million every quarter that really mostly goes toward extending the depth and breadth of our fiber networks. Now, when we do it, we're not typically wiring up residential neighborhoods. We're wiring up areas that connect either to carrier hotels, to data centers, to larger enterprises, or to wireless towers. In fact, even feeding early 5G sites through small cell. So we're not doing what a Comcast or perhaps a CenturyLink is in a residential context, but otherwise, in the way they serve enterprises, we serve enterprises as well.
What are the big picture benefits of broadband and fiber beyond a smoother Netflix stream or a faster gaming experience? How is it going to make a difference in everyone's life down the road?
Yeah, no, the benefit is profound. If you care about living longer, living a more healthy life, if you care about the economy, so fintech, medtech, biotech, augmented reality, autonomous vehicles, really any major trend you can think of, if you study a little bit further and say, what's going to make that possible? It's big data, which relates to bandwidth, or it's video, augmented reality, it's even more than that. So when it comes to finding new cures for cancer, a lot of that resides in DNA, which is a hugely data intensive. If it's remote surgery, as an example, so you want the best surgeon, but you happen to be in a geography where the better surgeons in that field don't operate, well, they'll be able to serve you remotely because of the reliability of bandwidth connections. So really every facet of life is being improved by innovators, but those innovators rely on an ample supply, in fact, an increasingly ample supply of bandwidth being available at very economical rates.
So it's not just to deliver solutions, but it's also to allow the people processing the data to do that at a higher rate of speed, which allows them to come up with the solutions in the first place.
Absolutely. So if you think of the world today versus what it was like even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, think about how different our lives are. Well, that would not be possible. A LinkedIn, a Facebook, really any of the things we take for granted nowadays, AWS, or we foresee over the next 5 or 10 years, all those require massive network infrastructure that underlie them. And Zayo is one of the big providers of that massive fiber infrastructure.
There's been talk of bringing citywide broadband to Boulder. What do you see standing in the way of that happening, or what needs to happen for that to come to Boulder?
So there's a lot of talk about bringing more bandwidth to Boulder. I think that's a good discussion, good initiative to move forward. I think we have to think more broadly about that. There's a lot of private money that will go into funding broadband networks if we create the right environment for that. And that starts with the wireless networks. Most of the wireless carriers want to build 5G. Well, 5G will enable a ton more bandwidth that's broadly available to the community. But in order to enable 5G, they need communities to welcome them in the form of allowing them to put their very small radios on infrastructure that's very dense. So whether that be on light posts or the sides of buildings or small new towers that might be put up, and then those need to be connected to fiber. Just by helping that process, making it easy for them to get the permits and not adding costs by levying taxes on those kind of implementations, that will accelerate bringing broadband more densely into the broader Boulder area. And then on top of that, you know, we could talk about kind of densifying the fiber networks, but I think it's real important that the community of Boulder realize the value it will get out of being much more proactive and innovative and how to work with the private sector to get them to spend their money, to invest their money to bring broadband more densely into Boulder itself.
Are you optimistic for that to happen anytime in the near future?
It's happening in other communities. The communities who are leaning into it and who are thinking about how to work with those types of companies in a proactive way are going to be the first communities to benefit. I think Boulder has a little ways to go in the form of realizing that that's bringing good to the broad community. It's bringing benefit to the broad community. So how does it work in attracting that level of investment? I think Boulder doesn't quite have its finger on the pulse of what it can do to be more proactive. I mean, it's thinking in terms of using taxpayer money to build out deep, dense fiber networks. And, you know, that could have its purpose. But boy, if you get the private sector to invest the money, they'll do it more quickly, they'll do it more expensively, and it won't be a burden on the taxpayers, but it will provide a significant benefit to the community itself.
I want to shift gears a little bit and keep it in Boulder, but take it more to your time here. You've been on the Front Range tech scene for a while now, maybe long enough to consider you a wise elder. Not that you're old, but just relatively speaking. How would you characterize the evolution of the scene here? And is there a defining moment that put Boulder on the tech map, so to speak?
So as long as I can remember, Boulder had a certain element of being part of the tech scene. I think with CU being right here in the heart of Boulder, certainly the contributions of Techstars and Foundry Group, those all led to kind of the right type of environment here. I moved to Boulder to help launch Level 3 Communications just outside of Boulder. And I think part of the significance of Level 3 and Zayo is the fact that we built companies from nothing that became scale-up companies, eventually went public, and then in both cases had significant exits post being public, but both remain largely headquartered in this area. Zayo for certain, and through the name CenturyLink, really Level 3 still is, I think, de facto headquartered largely in this area. So I think one of the big changes that's taking place is it's not just about startups that are software-based. Now it's about broader set of company types that include companies that scale up and have kind of long-term success while remaining kind of in or nearby Boulder itself.
Is there a reason why Zayo and Level 3 launched here to begin with? Is it just because this is where the people happen to be who founded those companies, or was there a reason why the Front Range was chosen?
Yeah, no, the Front Range was deliberately chosen. In the days of when we were starting Level 3, some of us were in Chicago and some were in Omaha, and it was decided we need to be together. We had successfully worked together before on a company that was born as Chicago Fiber Optics, became MFS Communications, also went public, also sold, and then we wanted to do our next thing. So we canvassed the nation to say, where could we start up a company that is infrastructure focused, all about the internet and optics, and has an opportunity to scale up dramatically? We considered Silicon Valley, we considered DC, Virginia area, and we considered Boston, but we selected Colorado because its potential to support a scaling up company while also attracting the kind of tech talent on the innovative edge.
Zayo is a major sponsor of, among many things, Boulder Startup Week and CU's new venture challenge. What is the importance to Zayo of supporting these types of local organizations and events?
So in addition to Zayo supporting, my wife and I also support through the Caruso Foundation. There's probably a couple different aspects to that. One is we believe in giving back to the community, and the theme that we've chosen to give back is supporting the broader kind of entrepreneurial environment, helping attract more people into the system, help people learn about being entrepreneurs, not just to be part of the startup community, but to be part of the scale-up community. So part of it is a give back. Part of it is to make sure our team is plugged into what it means to stay innovative, to stay entrepreneurial, because what I don't want to do is see Zayo go the way of becoming a bigger and kludgy company. I want us to stay kind of on the innovative edge. And by having our team stay closely plugged in with innovative companies, it helps that become part of our DNA. And then finally, it helps expose Zayo to those people within the community who are looking for a place to practice their next several years, who want to be part of a scale-up, who want to be part of a culture that's dynamic and forward-leaning. So it's a way for us to attract talent into Zayo.
Is there anything in particular happening in terms of attracting talent that has you particularly excited? For example, I was at the New Venture Challenge last month and was blown away by a lot of what's going on at CU and what was presented there that night. And I've just been really impressed by what's happening up on campus there.
I'll say the new dean of the business school and the new dean of the engineering school, they're not as new now as they were a year ago, but they've been a huge plus to the whole efforts around innovation and entrepreneurship. And they've done it not separately, they've done it by getting their groups to team together. Very excited about the building that is being developed that physically connects the business school and engineering school to each other. In fact, we've helped sponsor that, and the actual corridor that's connecting the two buildings is being called the Caruso Connector. And that just signifies the importance of bringing the technical side of the world together with the business side of the world, and they collaborate in a way that hopefully invites the rest of the university to join them in that collaboration space to conceive of new ideas and begin the birth of new companies.
Do you have any thoughts about the startup tech community's impact on Boulder at large?
Yeah, no, Boulder at large is benefiting in a big way from all this tech energy that is around here. I got together with some of the professors at CU in the engineering department who are working with the labs, the government labs that are in areas such as NIST, all around the area of quantum. So this is going to be a center of excellence for quantum, recognized worldwide. But it's an example of how that type of innovation begins within the research labs and within the university, but will permeate its way through the community in ways that I think will just make Boulder an increasingly interesting place year after year after year for as far as I can see.
Last question. You've been instrumental in the launch and success of 3 decacorns, a term that I had never heard before, doing some research for this interview. Do you have any plans or at least a desire to move on from Zayo eventually and take a shot at building a 4th one? Or is Zayo it for you? Or what's next for Dan Caruso?
Yeah, so a decathon, is that how you pronounce it?
Decacorn.
Decacorn.
Yes.
So unicorn means a startup that becomes worth $1 billion. Decacorn means the startup becomes worth $10 billion. So I was part of MFS, joined in its scale-up phase, and it ended up selling to WorldCom for right around that $10 billion mark. Then was part of the founding executive team that launched Level 3. We went through quite a ride and eventually sold to CenturyLink for, some amount of billions, maybe $20 billion, and then led the founding of Zayo right here on Pearl Street in Boulder about 11 years ago. And we went public a few years ago and just recently announced that we're taking the company private in a transaction valued at about $13.6 billion. So I've been part of 3 and done a lot of other stuff in startups. So I think the safe answer is no, there's not another chapter of that sort in my future. My commitment is all to Zayo Group for the foreseeable future and helping it be successful in its new chapter of its life.
Great. Anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm just excited to be part of Boulder Startup Week and appreciate you doing this podcast.
Dan, thank you very much for your time. That was Dan Caruso, Chairman and CEO of Zayo Group. Learn more at zayo.com and follow Dan on Twitter at Dan Caruso. Episode number 42 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week Accelerator Track sponsor, UpRamp. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Boulder Startup Week Platinum sponsors Honey, Matter, and Zayo. We're also supported by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio, and to KGNU Community Radio for recording gear and studio usage. Our intro music is by Echo Deck. Hear more at echodeck.com. That's ECCODEK. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, comments, and guest suggestions are welcome. Reach me at joel@dojo4.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.